Good morning, church. Boy, it's sure good. I'm sure glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope you all are too. I've had to miss the last couple, but like I said, it's good to be back. And y'all get to stand and let's sing. And number three, Worthy of Worship. You're going to help bring the choir in and help bring in the service. So let's stand and sing number three, Worthy of Worship.
Thousand to my soul.
Church. Good to see you this morning. Days are getting longer. Sun's getting a little bit warmer. It's only 35 days till spring. You think about the sunshine. I pray you have the sun in your life. You know, the storms come and the clouds come and they try to hide the sun, and they will if we let them. It's our duty to let the sun shine in our lives every day as Christians. So I encourage you, be diligent in witnessing for Him. Now, to be a witness, you need to be a disciple. To be a disciple, you need to be a part of Bible study. So I'm going to put another plug in here for Sunday school. If you're not involved in Sunday school, I invite you to come and be a part of class. We've got class for everyone. So come and get into the study of His Word. That's what we need to do as His disciples. New devotionals are in. Out in the foyer. Please pick one up for yourself and pick one or two up to give to friends. You know, we have friends I mail a lot of these out every quarter, and people are so appreciative because some of the smaller churches don't have the resources that we do. We can share these with other Christians about us to help enrich their lives. And also, if that friend's not a Christian, this could be the invitation they need to come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So I encourage you. Pick one of these up for yourself, get in it with your Bible every morning, and share it with others. I think this is a very important ministry of our church, both inreach and outreach. Bow with me now as we go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessings upon our time together this morning. Father, thank You for the day You've given us, and already we've been blessed to be in Your house with Your people. Sharing together with our brothers and sisters the study of Your Word, which leads, guides, and directs. We thank You for the presence of He, the Holy Spirit, Father. For without Him, we cannot divide Your Word. As we come together this morning, Father, there are many things on our hearts and our minds, and we think of loved ones that have lost loved ones this past week, and right now, Father, they're hurting. And we lift to You their hurting hearts, that You would touch them and comfort them and give them Your peace. Help us as Your children to come alongside them and comfort them as much as we can. For we all know the pain that the loss of a loved one brings. We lift to You those who have been put on our prayer list this morning, spoken and unspoken. Many, Father, are hurting because of the COVID that's about us. Some are facing surgeries and procedures, and some have been injured this week. And we lift to You, those to You, and pray for Your healing. As we come together now, Father, we come together to hear Your word, the word that You've given, Your message, Your brother Brian, and we lift him to You and ask that He, the Holy Spirit, would be upon him mightily, that he would deliver that word You have for us today. Now help us to take that word, Father, and embrace it. And hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against You. Father, for that one this morning that's nearest to eternity, that's the nearest to going on, we pray for them. We pray most sincerely that they know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And if not, we pray now that they would call upon Him, because You have said those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We praise you and thank you, Father, that you judge not as we judge, Father, but you judge out of the love of your heart for all. And it's not your desire that any should perish, but all should live with you in eternity. We thank you and praise you for what you've done for us and what you continue to do for us. In the name of our Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Sister Nancy, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of John chapter 13 and hold your finger there and then flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You alone are my heart's desire. I long for you more than silver and gold. That's what the songs say that we just heard, but is that who we are? That we long and we are in a passionate relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to kindly continue on as you're turning to John chapter 13 and 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to carry on with the idea we began last Sunday, and that is the value of Christ's love, or valuing Christ's love. But before we do, I want to remind you that it's good to be with you today, whether you're watching by Facebook, you're listening to us by radio, or you're in-house with us. It's good to see all of you. Thankful that you... Where did the snow come from? I went to bed, and it woke up, and it was out of nowhere. It just popped up, but thank God. How many days till summer, spring? 35. That sounds good, doesn't it? We do tell you again, it's good to be with you, but in the past 3 weeks, as a body of Christ, we've lost four loved ones, with Sister Catherine, Brother David, and then also Brother Don and Brother Jeff. I do want to thank the church for all that you've done for the families, being at the funerals, providing meals where they could celebrate the life of their loved one and not have to worry about cleaning up and things like that. That's one of the greatest ministries, I think, that we have is the feeding. But as we go any further, as you're finding your place in John 13 and 1 Corinthians 13, do we have any words of praise or testimony today? Amen. Anyone else? Oh, it is. Amen. Amen. And I want to give God praise. I got Brother David and Sister Renee Chesser. They have COVID. Vicki Haley's been diagnosed with COVID. But there are churches that I know at least one last week couldn't have service due to COVID, and that God's allowing us. You know, it's hard to get back in rhythm when it's up and down. But in Jesus' name, you remember, that's what we're talking about. It's about pressing on. It's about pushing when you don't feel like you're making any progress, but you continue to push. You know, God didn't tell us to save everybody. God didn't tell us to have results. He just called us to be consistent. Amen? And I want to tell you this. You know what? The world does not need perfect Christians today. You know, because most of them realize we ain't perfect anyway. But what they need is sincere, real, and love. And if we're going to continue to push on, it's going to be because we value the love of Jesus Christ. And I say this every service, but nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And today, He'll do even greater things. I don't care what your past is. I don't care how dirty and filthy you may feel. Praise God, God is bigger than whatever your past is. He's bigger than my future. He's bigger than the battles I face. Hallelujah, VeggieTales told me He's bigger than the boogeyman, and I can trust when the Bible tells me that. But I'm going to ask you if you would to stand with me in honor of God's Word. It's going to be a little bit different. I knew that God was leading us this way last Sunday, but putting it together, it's come a little different. Look there in John chapter 13, just verses 33 through 35. Now, what we've got to remember, let's get the setting. Jesus is in the upper room. He's heading to the cross. I mean, it is just a few minutes. He's going to do what He came to do, and that is to be the substitutional death, burial, and resurrection for whosoever. And listen what He tells them. He says in verse 33, little children, yet a little while, and I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither or where I go, you cannot come. Now say I to you. Now, so Jesus is prepping them. He's saying, I'm fixing to leave. I'm fixing to go through the hardest time of my life, and then after that, I'm going to ascend to heaven. And in verse 34, He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. The word there, love, and we've talked about this before, it's agapeo. It means to demonstrate or to show your love, not by just simply stating a word, but letting your love be seen as you live your life. And this is one of the last things He's telling to His apostles, right? He says, that new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. The way that Jesus is saying, I've demonstrated my love for you. I've not just said it, but I'm demonstrating it, and I'm fixing to go to the cross and demonstrate it even greater. But He's saying to them, in the same fashion that I have demonstrated my love, I call you or command you to demonstrate your love for one another, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Now, jump over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And out of the King James, the word charity is equal to love. It is also the word, instead of agapeo, it is agape, but it's the same root. Notice it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. is not easily provoked, think no evil, thinketh no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, and endures all things. Now jump down to verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, or faith, hope, and love, but of these three, the greatest of these is charity, or love. Let us go to the Lord in prayer as you're being seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I do come before you and thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for just the sweetness of your Spirit in this place. God, that we are able to be with one another. And I do ask you, Lord, to send that Holy Ghost fire. Let it be ablaze within me and in others, God. And I pray today that you'll just take your word, Heavenly Father, Lord, and we'll learn what it means to love like Jesus. And so, God, again, I thank you and I praise you for this day. We pray for those that are mourning. We pray for those, Heavenly Father, Lord, that are dealing with physical issues. But today, if there be one that doesn't know you or is backslidden, that today will be the day of salvation. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. If you remember last week, we came out of the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. And it was a topical sermon, just like today's. And the idea, you remember we talked about there in 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul says, for the love of Christ Jesus constrains us, or it compels us. The picture there, as we looked up the word constrain or compel, means that the love of God, what Paul is saying is that the love of God has seized control in my life. The love of Christ Jesus is pressing on me from every angle, and it dominates who I am. That and again, as we talked about, you know, our salvation in Christ Jesus, it's not a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I mean, it's not a swap, but it is a passionate relationship in Christ Jesus that He loved me enough that He died on the cross for me. And just in knowing and understanding that love, then I should want to press on. I should want to keep pushing, even when there's times that my flesh and my emotions may not be there. It is the dominance and the reality of God's love in Christ Jesus that gives us purpose in life, that pushes us on to the next day. And sometimes we have to say, for the next hour, Jesus, you've got to get me through it. And then we have to do it over and over again. But praise God, His love brings us through. But if we do not understand the love of God, if we do not recognize the love of God, then are we going to truly value the love of God? If we don't understand it, I think that's one of the issues today with marriage. As we're pressing on, and don't forget the 25th and the 26th, we'll be having our marriage conference. Please sign up. Even if you're single, come and be. We'll let you go stag. We'll hook you up with somebody, get you together. But what is the problem? We do not value marriage anymore the way that Christ values marriage. Amen? We no longer see it with His eyes. He says that marriage is honorable in all, and it's to be respected. But anymore, it's a flip of coin. Why? If we make it, if we don't, the divorce rates are the same in the church as outside the church. Why? Because we do not value, we do not understand it the way that God wants us to understand it. And because we don't understand it, we don't value it the way that it should be. And therefore, it doesn't have the power, and we don't see the strong homes anymore as we used to. But see, sometimes it's either maybe we don't understand the love of God, or maybe we do and we just got to a point to where we've become blind to it. You know, if you look at the sun for too long, what happens? You lose sight. It's so bright that it damages the eyes. And if we're not careful, if we don't value the love of Christ Jesus, and we don't treat it as something precious, then the Bible says that there are those who tread upon it. So remember last Sunday, we talked about if we're going to value the love of Jesus, we've got to understand some certain things. If you remember, the first thing was that we must recognize how much the love of Jesus cost Him. The love that He has for you and I, He gave up so much so that I could have a relationship with Him and have eternal life. Hallelujah today that He was willing. The Bible says that He let go of his throne, that he didn't see it was something over there in Philippians that he had to hold on to, but he was willing to let it go. Then we talked about how if we're gonna value the love of Jesus properly, then guess what? We've got to come to a point where we realize that we don't deserve his love. There's nothing about us that is good, is what Scripture says. None of us seek after God, but yet in His grace and His mercy, He loves you and I enough that He extends His love to us. Hallelujah. He doesn't owe me anything, but yet He still loved me. Then the next thing was, do we recognize and understand how much His love provides? Hallelujah. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, what God has in store for those that love Him. Hallelujah. And you know what else? Our inheritance that He has for us, that's not just for over in glory land, but He said, John 10:10, I'm come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Hallelujah. It's that passionate relationship. And within that passionate relationship that we have the favor of God on our lives. He's always working in our lives. There is never a moment in my life, I might sleep, I might eat, I might take time off, but God is always working in my life. He is providing His power, supernatural power, in my life. So we've got to understand, if we're going to value the love of Jesus, it cost Him a lot. And you know, we don't deserve any of it. But in the love that He gives us, not only do we have everything we'll ever need, but we have more than we'll ever need because He provided it all. And then the last thing was, we've got to recognize how freely He gives it. How freely He gives it. There's no one standing there saying, you got to give it. You got to love these. Nobody is saying, as Creator, then you've got to make sure that they're took care of. And no, Jesus loves me today freely. And hallelujah, the Bible says that nothing is going to take away His love from me as His child. Romans chapter 8, I believe that is. So, the natural step is when we begin to value the love of Jesus properly. What is the next step? Then the next step is that we need to let the love of Jesus live through us. That is what He's called us to do. That commandment right there, as we're looking at it there in John chapter 13, where He says, where I am going, you cannot know. Verse 34, I give you a new commandment. Or there is an instruction that I'm going to lay down for you. And that instruction is that you love one another. That you demonstrate your love for each other. He says in the same, and remember, Jesus is not only our Savior, but He is our role model. And the way that He loved, we need to love. And so, as we think about this, what did Jesus think about how we're to love one another? Because remember, as we look at the cross, Jesus Christ makes us, we've got the vertical, we're right between God and man, and then we have the horizontal, where we're to be right with our fellow brethren and those that we live with. And if either one of those is off, then we're not loving and living and valuing the love of Jesus Christ like we should. Listen what Jesus says about us loving one another. In Matthew chapter 22, He says, all of the law hangs on two commandments. Verse 36, teacher, which command is in the law is greatest? And Jesus said to him, love the Lord, agape the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He's saying, demonstrate the love that you have for God with every part of who you are. That way it's equal. If everybody loves them with all our physical love, with all our mental love, and all our spiritual love, then all of us are given the same amount, right? We give it all. But He goes on to say, but the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. And I want you to notice this. How did Jesus say that the world was going to know us? Did they say because we're going to dress different? Did He say that the world's going to know us because we're going to sing different? He didn't even say because you're going to act different, did He? He said this, by the way you love each other. I want to ask you today, How much love are we demonstrating? I mean, that's how the Lord wants us to live, by the way that we demonstrate and we live our lives that His love is living through us. Listen, He was quoting there in Matthew 22, Jesus was big about loving others. And matter of fact, if you see there in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5 where He says, love God with all your being. And then He quotes from Leviticus chapter 19 verse 18, love your neighbor. Don't seek to get even with your neighbor, but to love your neighbor. All the way back into the Old Testament. You see the Old Testament and the New Testament linked together. But how were the people of God to show themselves as people of God? By the love of God in their lives. By the way that they demonstrated or they pointed out their love. By the way you love one another, that's how they're going to know. Are we loving each other today in a manner that Jesus Christ, are we loving Him in a way that we show we value the love that He has given us? You see, Jesus says, if you value my love, then you're going to live out my love. That's how the world's going to know. Listen, but not only there, you remember over in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, we'll take a guess what parable that is. The parable of the Good Samaritan. You remember? Remember what we had? Remember, there was this man, he got caught by robbers. And what happened? The priest come by, and what did he do? Walked on by. Then the Levite, or the good church worker, they come by. What did they do? Walked on by. But then the half-breed, that's what the Samaritans were. They looked down on them. They didn't think they were worthy. But what did he do? It says he got him up. He put wine and oil in his wounds. He found him a place to stay and gave the innkeeper extra money and said, whatever he needs, you give it to him. And when I come back, I'll take care of him. And then in verses Luke chapter 10, verses 36 and 37, it says, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The one who showed mercy to him, and he said, go and do the same. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. And then it was so important. John, who we call the Beloved, the Revelator, he wrote the epistles there. Almost all of the 1 John deals with the love of God and living out the love of Jesus Christ. 1 John, he quotes Jesus from the upper room. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. See, you can never go wrong with John 3:16, whether it be the gospel or the epistles, okay? But listen, this is how we have come to know love. Jesus laid down His life for us. We should lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need but closes his eyes to his need, how can God's love reside in them? I mean, love. We try to define ourselves by morality. We compare ourselves with other people. And that's just, I do better than them in this area. I do. Praise God. Is the love of Jesus flowing through us? Are we loving others? Listen over there in 1 Corinthians, and this is neat because this is entitled the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And where do you hear this quoted most of the time? A wedding, and I think they're great there but I want you to notice this. This had nothing to do when it was written in Paul's writing as he was writing to the church at Corinth. It had nothing to do with romantic love. It had nothing to do with man and wife and all that. You know what it had to do with? How the people of God are to love one another in the house of God. Listen to what he says. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Is not boastful. Is not arrogant. Love is not rude. Is not self-keeping. Is not irrational. And does not keep a record of wrongs. Uh-oh. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So as we think about this, and last week we begin to try to value and recognize the sacrifice and all that God has provided us in the love of Jesus Christ. So today I want to take it, and the same things that we see in the life of Jesus' love, That should be evident in our life. You remember, the first thing, you remember we talked about how much it cost Jesus to love us, right? To be in that relationship with us. Think about it. He spent his life working in with the downtrodden. He was a friend of sinners. He was lied about. His reputation was slandered. He was beaten. His beard was plucked. That says nothing about him leaving glory and all that he gave up there. But then we know, why did Jesus do that? He was willing to pay the cost because he loved us. And I'm going to tell you this, if we're going to have the love of Jesus in our life, it's going to cost us something. We're going to be inconvenienced. We're going to have to put self aside. Listen, it says that love does not seek her own way. Hey, what did Jesus, when we look at his life, did he say, it's got to be me, I got to be this way, I'm coming as a prince and all that? No, he came as the lowest of lows and put people before us. He put my well-being before his own comfort. And folks, if we're going to love people the way that they need to be loved, then we're going to have to be willing to sacrifice our time, sacrifice our sweat, sacrifice our emotions and our own desires so that others can experience the love of Jesus Christ. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. No one should seek their own, but the good of the other person. You know what? We talk about church politics and stuff like that. You know what it boils down to most of the time? Selfishness. People want their way. It's got to be my way. It's got to be done this way. But Jesus said, I want you to be blessed. I want you to experience what love is. And because of that, I'm willing to be inconvenienced. Is there anybody in our life that God has put on our heart today that we are being inconvenienced because of the love that Jesus has given to us? Should there be? Should there be a place that we're willing to sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what? Sometimes that might mean that we have to give monetary funds to somebody. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not one to throw good money after bad. Sometimes you have to cut it off and all that. But other times, you know what that's going to mean? It's going to mean that you take time to sit and listen. You're going to be at the hospital with them in the midnight hours. You're going to be willing, when God puts them on your heart, you're going to take a time out and you're going to send them a text or give them a call. You know what? I hate talking on the phone. I'm a texter. I'd rather text. But you know what? Sometimes God says you need to quit texting and give them a call. Folks, if we want to see, and I believe our best days are ahead, like Brother Paul's saying, but you know what? The closer we get to Jesus, the more we'll be willing to pay the cost. You know that? The closer we get to Jesus, the less it'll seem like a sacrifice, you know? Because there's a joy that's found in loving people. I was going to wait this, but do you know what today? Tell me how awesome this is. There's somebody in the community that God wants to love on through you. You ever thought about that? God wants to love on somebody in your daily life, and He wants to do it through you. The Creator in heaven wants to love on somebody through me. That should blow our mind. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that we're His body, right? We're His hands. We're His feet. So, we've got to recognize, if we're going to value the love of Christ Jesus in the way that we should, if we're going to let the love of Christ Jesus live through us in the way that we should, then we've got to be willing to sacrifice. Here's something else. You remember as we studied last week, we talked about how we didn't deserve it. Nothing we've done to deserve it. On the flip side, you know what? We got to get to a point to where we believe everyone is worth loving. Huh? We need to be to a point that whatever they look like, red, yellow, black, and white, what does the song say? They are precious in His sight. We got to get to a point where the sin is a sin and it's not the person, and we love them in spite of the sin. Notice it says, charity suffereth long. It is patient and it is kind. Meaning, and then it goes on to say in verse 5 that love is not rude. You know what? It's rude to put yourself before somebody else lots of times. But that's the society we live in today. But listen, it says that it is patient. Love puts up with what most people won't put up with. Most people just wipe their hands off of it and say, I ain't dealing with it. But love is patient. It does not get carried away in the relationship, and it is willing to suffer long. It says that it's kind, meaning that it shows mercy. Mercy. You know what? Many people said I wasn't worth saving. And you know what? Today, even us good Southern Baptist ones, we got certain groups that we don't love as much as others. You know, well, I like them. I can't say I love. I don't hate them, okay? I don't hate them. But you know, I mean, there's some that we just think, well, that's a waste of skin. What did Jesus say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that only white people. Nope. He said, for whosoever. Whosoever. How are we doing with loving those that look different from us? Huh? You know, Jesus didn't look nothing like us. He probably looked more like Osama bin Laden than he did Brian Gunner. I mean, that's just the truth. So, today, are we willing to suffer the loss that it costs something? Are we willing to recognize that every person we pass on the street, every person that's in Walmart, everybody that's going to make us mad tomorrow, they're worth loving? Not only that, think about this. Jesus created us, Genesis, it said, in His image and in His likeness. Then it says over in chapter 3 that He blowed His very breath into us. And then when we fell away, what did He do? He came and said, I'm not going to let you run. If you run, you do it because you want to, not because I've not provided a way. Everyone is worth loving. The next thing, number 3. I've already talked about this one. That the Lord God wants to love others through me. And I think I prayed this with Sister Tammy one day this week, that she be the Jesus to somebody that day that they needed. You know that God wants to use His love for you, that He has in you, so that other people will know His love. And I'm going to tell you what, the world needs love right now. I mean, it blows my mind, talking about how love is not rude. I watch these little TikTok things or whatever they are, how that fast food workers are getting beat up and cussed out. And you know what it is? It's a lack of love. Throwing drinks on them and all that kind of stuff. What is it? Because we're living in a society where love is getting less and less. And it's up to us. We are the salt. We are the light. If the world is going to know the love of Jesus, it's going to be because we value His love and want His love to be lived out through us. Notice it says over there in Ephesians chapter 2, as we talk about understanding that God wants to love through me. The Bible in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not from works, so that no man can boast. Listen, for we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works God has prepared ahead of time that you should walk in them. Here's the truth as we talk about love. It does not find joy in unrighteousness, but finds joy in the truth. Here's the truth. The day that we got saved, God created us with a purpose. He gave us a gift. And it doesn't matter who we think we are supposed to be or ought to be. God knows who He created us to be. He gave us the gift so we could be that. And when we're not living that lifestyle, when we don't find our identity in Christ Jesus, we're in an unrighteous place. We're not in line with what is right in His eyes. James chapter 4 verse 17 says that so it is a sin for the person who knows to do good and doesn't do it. Praise God today. All of us are the hands, the eyes, the feet. If you profess the name of Jesus, He said, I'm going away, but you're going to be my body and you'll do even greater things when I'm gone. You see, we've got to be willing to love despite the cost. We've got to recognize that every person, man, woman, boy, and girl are worth loving on. And then we've got to understand that I am the vessel by which God chooses to love those around me. And then the last thing is this. We've got to give the love freely and not expect anything in return. We've got to get to a place where we love freely. Love is not rude. Love is not self-keeping. Love is not irrational. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, and endures all things. Last Sunday morning we saw how Jesus gave His love freely. No one made Him come. No one made Him suffer the death. Matter of fact, He says, I lay it down. No man takes it from me. He offers love to the poor in the same way that He offers love to the rich. There is nothing that I can do to keep His love, but yet He keeps me in His love. But you know what? When you love somebody, you open yourself up to hurt. That's why a lot of people choose not to love today. I mean, as a pastor and a pastor's wife, me and Amy's made friends along the way, you know, at this church, that church. And it's hard when God says, leave. That's why many pastors and pastor's wives keep a wall up. That's just the truth. You know, some of us, we've invested in children and grandchildren. We've invested in those that's had addiction problems. And you know what hurts? I've watched it. When you break mama and daddy's heart or spouse's heart by falling again to the addiction. But all if we could get to a point and say, no more. I'm not going to love anymore. I'm not going to open myself up to getting hurt. That's why a lot of people in church, you know, we have new people come in. Some of the old timers hold back because they don't want to, they've invested and saw the issues of the church. But does that mean, does that give us an excuse that we're not going to love anyone else? That we're not going to let His love live through us? Let me ask you this. How many times have I hurt Jesus by rebelling? I'm a sinner. I sin every day. I ask forgiveness for those sins, but you know what? It hurts Him. It hurts Him. Think about this. You remember the many times when Israel would say, oh Lord, we're coming back. We love You. We love You. We love You. And then what happened? They run away. But you know what? Listen what Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22 says. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For His mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in Him. You know, the Bible says this, that the Lord catches our tears in a bottle. You know that? So every time you have loved in spite of the pain, and it's made you cry, guess what? God valued those tears. He valued it. And praise God, I'm not going to tell you that you'll never be hurt again by loving. Odds are you probably will. But what greater calling than to suffer for the cause of Christ Jesus? Man, if we're going to love like Jesus, it's going to cost us something. If we're going to love like Jesus, we got to realize that everybody's worth being loved. If we're going to love like Jesus, I got to recognize that Jesus wants to love others through me. And I've got to understand that I should love freely and not expect anything in return. You see, when you do that, then when something comes back, it is just mind-blowing. It is just mind-blowing. I don't know where you're at today, but I want to tell you this. The Lord does. He knows what you're going through. He knows the situation. Nothing that you could confess to Him today is going to surprise Him. But He says this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. The love of Jesus changed my life completely. The love of Jesus changes lives today. But we have to value His love for us. And we display that value. We agape. We demonstrate that love by the way we live. Maybe today you just need to come on the altar and say, Lord, I need to feel Your love. I know it's not about a feeling, but it's been a long, dry winter. And I just need You to come, pour out Your Spirit on me. I just need You to give me one of those Holy Ghost hugs. Maybe today you need to come because you've gotten hard-hearted. You've been hurt. And the calluses has built up. Before you can love, you've got to have the desire to love. Right? Same thing with forgiveness. Before you can forgive, you ask God to give you the desire to forgive. Or maybe today you've got a loved one that's lost and dying and going to hell. But whatever your need is, hallelujah, He's not just enough. He is more than enough. Sister Nancy, Brother Ken, if y'all would come, I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, it's good to be in Your house today. I am thankful for Your love, and I pray You teach me how to let You love through me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I confess to You, Lord, that lots of times that's not even first or second thought during the day is loving others. But Lord, You're bigger than my thoughts. You're bigger than my inadequacies. And today, Lord, just let the love of Jesus be real in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Won't you stand? The altar is open. Maybe you want to pray with me or one of our deacons, one of our deacons' wives, whatever it is. Continue to pray for those that are bereaved. We'll go through our prayer list tonight. Pray for our marriage conference, getting some things ready, and just pray that God be glorified in it. Amy's surgery that's been postponed is supposed to be Tuesday. So pray it goes through or else. She says she ain't having it. So any other prayer needs or praise reports? Brother JC, I'm going to ask you if you would to come and close us out in prayer this morning, if you don't mind.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for another day. Thank You for allowing us to be in Your house. Thank You for allowing us to wake up this morning, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank You so much, Lord. Thank You for Your Son. Thank You for salvation. We love You and we appreciate You, Lord. Thank You for our pastor. Thank You for each person that's here today, Lord. We ask You, Lord, to go with them as they go home and bring them back at the next appointed time. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus' holy precious name, amen.
Amen. God bless.